This podcast is dedicated to folks like myself who want to try to start their own business or venture to work on developing their own personal independence and financial independence. So if you're one of those folks, then you're in the right place at the right time. Are you starting from scratch? Are you stuck in your career?
One of the hardest parts is that very beginning part.
Are you feeling trapped? Do you want to start something new?
I'm coming to you. I'm here too. You know, I'm not trying to tell you I know everything, but...
A new way to make money. You want to take control of your own business. You want to start your own business. Be your own boss. Are you a beginner? Entrepreneur?
We tend to blow things up in our minds, you know, and like make something a bigger deal than it really is.
Feel like you want to hang out with other people that are on the same track you are, well, come listen, because I'm starting from scratch. Thank you to Dan P. for giving me the awesome musical backgrounds for the introduction. Here we go. Hey, welcome back to the I'm Starting From Scratch podcast. This is Chris, your host. I'm here with a very special episode today, one I'm very excited about and also a little bit nervous because John Gallagher is a hero to me. He's someone I look up to and he's kind of a big deal to me. I think what he's doing at learningherbs.com and Herb Mentor Radio is his podcast. And herbmentor.com is really exciting. He just offers all this wonderful content for people like me who are beginners on how to learn about herbs and how to make them part of your lifestyle. It seems kind of overwhelming to someone for me starting from the beginning trying to learn about herbs, but he makes it really accessible and he's so friendly and down to earth that he drew me in with this podcast, and I've come along quite a bit, and that's kind of what got me excited about making tea was trying different herbs. So I'd order herbs over the internet or buy them at a local herb store. Some I can collect in my own yard. I'm not afraid to collect dandelions and dandelion root tea, something I just made recently. And what gave me the confidence to keep doing this experimentation and ideas of herbs to try for my tea infusions is stuff I learned from Herb Mentor Podcast, and that's hosted by John Gallagher. So I recently, in fact just today, finally got around to signing up to be a member where you can kind of get into herbalism little by little. He offers courses, but also all kinds of content for free if you check out his podcast or website. And that's what really attracted me to asking him to come on this podcast. And I'm hoping he can share with us a little bit about his business model, because what he does is just offer you all this free, amazing content, interviews with herbalists, information about recipes, things you can cook, ways you can use herb, and makes it just easy and fun. But then he offers ways you can buy things too. I purchased early on this herbal remedy kit, which taught me how to make, like for instance, a simple salve out of, I think it was two or three ingredients. And then I still use this salve. My whole family does. We put it on our skin. It's amazing how well it works. And he sent me, you know, in the kit was just a bag with the herbs in it and some written instructions, and then I could also a video too that you could follow along and someone would, you know, explain to you how to make this stuff. So it was very geared towards someone like myself who knew pretty much nothing, and it was inexpensive. And then like a Wildcraft game, which I bought for some family members for Christmas, was, you know, it teaches kids a little bit about herbs, you know, and kind of gets them started. I'm going to give John a call. Let's see what he's got to say. Thanks for tuning in. Well, thanks for meeting with me today, John. Welcome to the I'm Starting From Scratch podcast.
Thank you, Chris. It's awesome to be here.
I'm really, I got to admit, I was a little nervous, you know, because you're kind of like a big deal to me.
Oh, Thanks.
I really enjoyed the podcast.
Maybe my kids or my mom, right? No, no.
you have a great laugh,
you, I appreciate
too.
It.
You know, like when I listen to your podcast, like your laugh is just great. You know, you always have a good way of sounding like down to earth. You know, I'm like, this guy sounds really nice. I think I could talk to him.
Absolutely. I'm just here with you. We're hanging out in our living room talking. We can pretend, right? I got a cup of coffee and cold pressed coffee with that really cool filter that you have. And
I got my herbal tea here.
All right.
Yeah, I was really excited this week. I sent you a picture before we talked. I went out in my yard and pulled up a bunch of dandelion roots and chopped them up and made some dandelion tea. So I'm drinking that today.
That's great. Now, have you roasted the roots ever, or are you just doing a straight dandelion?
Yeah, I did. I roasted them. In fact, I put them in a food processor so it would, and I kind of laid them out flat on a mm-hmm. and put it like in the oven at like 200 degrees. It took like 3 hours before they were finally roasted, but it tastes pretty good.
Tastes great, and it's great for your liver, and it's just a great nourishing drink to have every day.
Yeah.
Even though I'm drinking coffee right now.
Well, that comes from a plant too, right?
Absolutely, it's herbal.
So I'm kind of really curious about, it seems like I was looking today at your websites. You got the Herb Mentor and Learning Herbs, mm-hmm. and it seems like a pretty big thing. Like I noticed you have staff that work for you. Did it start out really small? Like, I'm really curious sort of the progression, how you started this thing, how you got your business going.
Yeah, I'm probably a good person to talk to for something that's about starting something from scratch, because I had no background or any experience whatsoever in running a business or putting a business together or anything like that. I more have a natural knack for production and putting things together, like projects. I started my earlier days with like theater, for example, and putting on plays and all. And then in college, I did some television production stuff and learned about that. And after college, I joined up and helped a wilderness school get going, which is still around. I think I probably started there about 25 years ago, and it's going strong here in Washington State. We started in New Jersey. And in the wilderness school, even though I was teaching about edible plants and tracking and wilderness skills and stuff, my job was very much about production, because I was putting together the classes and the tours that we would do across the country. I'd make the flyers and the brochures, and eventually when email and the internet started, right, it was before that, I started there. Then I would, look into how to make a website. And so even though I was at a wilderness school, I was kind of like the behind the scenes production guy. So that was more my foundation. So I knew how to make a product. I knew how to make something. Now, story is that, I'd always been kind of interested in plants, herbal medicine, stuff like that. It's always been a bit of a passion of mine, and really, something I was really curious about, like looking up plants and field guides and wondering what you could do with them and stuff like that. And then when I had kids, my son was born almost 18 years ago, and I knew that I wanted to take care of my kids naturally, but after he was born, I kind of lit a fire under my butt. I really had to learn how. And then that's where I started putting together my interest in plants with taking some classes and learning how to use those herbs. And then that became a big passion, because I had a lab, a place to – I had this new family that I could keep healthy with herbs, and I could learn how to take care of colds and flus and cuts and all those things that happen every day, and all the little things that happen to babies, colic and infant constipation and all those weird things that they get. I would look at earaches, ear infections, and I would be like, oh, how could I take care of this naturally? And so I was really learning about herbs to help my family. And but I remember, though, the very first time I wanted to learn about herbs, I had the kid with my son was on the way, and I'm walking around at an herbal festival. And I'm just like, I want to learn about herbs. Like, I go up to a booth and I say, like one of the vendors, and I selling herbs. And I said, do you have like a kit You know, do you have like something that just gives me everything I need to get started? You know, like gives me the bottles and the instructions and the herbs I need. And I remember the woman going, you know, that's a really good idea, but no, I don't have that. I'm like, oh, darn. Well, luckily that day I met my first herbal teacher that I took classes from. But, you know, when you have a good idea for a product, it's or a business, it usually is something that solves a problem. That, you know, and even though it's very niche, you know, how many people out there at the time were wanting to learn about herbs, like still that's a problem that I knew. So years later, when I thought about like, oh, what could I do? I'd like to make a product or something. I remembered being at that herbal fair and remembered that kit idea. And this was years after I'd been using herbs and teaching about herbalism at the wilderness school where I worked. And I said, you know, I should make that kit, you know. But here's an interesting thing. This is a good lesson to people, right, that are listening, is that sometimes I bet you a lot of you listening have that good idea, have that that problem, you know, that need to be solved. But maybe to you that problem, that product idea, that brilliant idea that you have, right, you're thinking of right now, you haven't done it because you're thinking, oh, I'll get to that because it seems like such a big thing and I'm really excited about it, but I'm not quite ready to get there. I think what I'm going to do is some of this other work first, and maybe I'll get some money from that, and that money I can put into this really great idea that I have. And I've seen that over and over again. And I did that myself. It was early on the internet and people were coming out with eBooks like how to make money on eBay or how to make money on drop shipping. It was before YouTube, before Facebook, right? Before blogs even, right? Blogs were new. And then I tried my hand at these things and I failed miserably at all of them. And then I went right back to that. All right.
Your original idea.
My idea. Then I was like, but the reason why I was scared at it, and I think the reason why anyone listening who has going, oh, yeah, I identify with that, probably also hasn't done their idea, was because I went at that time and sat down with a guy who I knew was good at business and marketing, and I happened to know in front of the families. I sit down at his patio table outside, and he lived on this lake. We're overlooking the lake, and I told him about my kit idea. And the first thing he says is, so, John, you're thinking about starting a business. And I looked at him like, what, are you crazy? I don't know how to start a business. That involves money and taxes and inventory and production and invoices and money and, you know, and figuring things out. So, but that's the reality. If you have a product idea, you know, the reality is, you know, you're starting a business. I mean, even though if you watch Shark Tank, the guys are saying, you know, no, that's not a business, that's a product. You know, they say that a lot. And when someone has a product, maybe they're doing it out of their house. But in reality, it is a business because it's money that you could be making that you spend money on, and then you're selling it, and money's changing hands. At some point, it's a business. But so I just said, I bit my tongue. I was like, well, all right. You know, and then the next day I go, and I'm talking to a friend at my acupuncture school because I was an acupuncturist here in the Seattle area. And then I told him about my kit idea. And then this was a little bit later when I was getting close to finishing it. And he was like, oh, you're going to make a website for that? And I was like, a website? That's a good idea.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I was going
to
do that.
All right. I should make a website. So, yeah, I have to start a business. And I have to make a website. This is getting complicated. I should have just went back to that eBay idea, or maybe I should just get a job mowing lawns or something, you know, because like this is. But, you know, here's the reality. It wasn't that complicated because, and this is important, like often when you have the business, and I went to my own brother, still does this, who I hope he isn't listening to this, but my brother's a super talented guy and he's a graphic designer and he has this great business idea and this graphic and a very niche graphic design thing. But he is always afraid of putting it out there because he imagines like all this people coming, you know, all this business yeah. being there all of a sudden, 500 people are going to ask him for something. And he's not going to be able to do it. And that's not going to happen. You know, a business is going to grow slow and it's going to start with one customer. And all you have to do is, you know, you just make that. You register that one bank account for your business. That's free. It doesn't cost you any money. They'll even give you a credit card associated with it. You go to the bank where, you know, get that set up. You get a little simple bookkeeping program. You can use your Quicken or part of your Quicken or whatever to keep track of stuff. And you know, that's all I really needed to realize. I needed to get going. And then on my business, once I got the webpage up and it, you know, had a, people would buy my kit. You know, I didn't have to have some elaborate, expensive shopping cart program, or there wasn't that many then anyway. I could just use PayPal because that was free, you know, and didn't require. And you know, you can even host free websites now, you know. So in a way, you can get started selling a product online with no money down at all. It's totally true.
Yeah, and I've discovered, like you're saying, it was kind of the opposite too. Like I tried to do another podcast before this one, and it's like the opposite of the way you're thinking, you know, like, well, I don't want all these people to hear, you know, the whole world, you know, but it's the opposite problem. Like once you start something, then you're like, well, how do I get people to listen to this, you know, or how do I get people to see this product? You know, no one's looking at it, you know, so don't be afraid to get it out there. I mean, the hard part is not getting it out. I mean, the hard part is getting anybody to look at it then.
Well, but the thing is, like when I came out with the kit, though, the first day, you know, I worked real hard on getting it to my 9-month period. And it's almost like having a baby. And it was having a baby, you know, between setting up the website, getting the kit together, getting all the parts and figuring it all out. And I remember I made 10 kits, and I always just happened to be really lucky start, because I had some lot of fortunate things, because one was I worked at the wilderness school. I was able to send an email out to some of the our students, you know, in the first couple of weeks, 10 of them bought the kit, and that was huge to me. Because you need the confidence. It was just a few sales, but you need the confidence that people are not only interested, but once they get it, that they are going to like it. You get that feedback, because the people I would tell about this, all the herbalists that I knew at the time, they're like, huh, someone would buy that. And it got me to really doubt it, you know. But since then, and it launched, you know, we've sold countless thousands of these kits, and we still sell them to this day. But it started with, you know, me with the you know, and here's the other thing. Like when I started, I didn't even have money for a computer. I was borrowing a laptop from work, and I didn't have money for internet. So I sat in my rattly old Subaru wagon outside the public library, tapping into, you know, Wi-Fi, which was brand new at the time. There was actually this thing called Wi-Fi, so I could get through the internet sitting in my station wagon and a borrowed laptop outside, because I lived in a tiny one bedroom apartment with my two kids. We were on food stamps, going to the food bank. So yeah, they're humble beginnings.
Yeah, that's starting from scratch.
But it is starting from scratch. Like I didn't let it, I just kept going. And the thing is, like, you know, you started by saying, oh, you got Herb Mentor and Learning Herbs, and look at all the stuff you do and the people. Anyone, you can't look at someone's where they are at the time. Like you're going to start with just you and where you're at, and it's going to start really, really small. I mean, think about how Apple started with Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak and a couple other people in a garage and right down the street, right from where you grew up, Chris. And or you know, Walt Disney, you know, making little sketches for a local newspaper in Missouri. You know, like, you know, that had to start somewhere. And so for us, you know, and you have to understand that what I'm doing is by no means huge, or no so huge. It's a very humble, small family business with 5 or 6 or 7 employees, I keep forgetting. And you know, we make a modest income and we pay the bills, and but you know, it works, and making a good living at it and doing what I love doing. So,
but well, that's a big part of it, right there. Is doing something you love.
Absolutely.
And I think that's kind of what inspires me so much about what you're doing, is that, you know, it kind of inspired me that, you know what, there are people out there doing what they love doing. I don't, you know, I myself or other people don't have to keep doing some job you don't like forever. No. You know, there is a way.
And if you have an idea for a business, it doesn't, you know, as much as I love Shark Tank, I mentioned it before, those sharks are investors that are trying to find people who are going to want to make some big scalable business that they can make millions on. Like most people with home businesses doing what they like doing would never qualify, nor would should they want to be on something like Shark Tank. You know, like my business would never work on that, you know, because it's not like I don't care. Like I like what I do.
Yeah, you don't need that.
I'm not trying to like have a big warehouse with 200 employees and making billions of dollars. It's not my goal.
Right.
And I think when people like realize that, that there's a big like relief. Like, it's amazing how little you actually have to make or get things set up to make a living off something. Like, we're 12 years in at Learning Herbs now, and probably at year five, I was making my living off of it. And yes, we have 7-8 employees, but I only add them slowly as we go along. I've taken no investment money. I've never made a business plan. I never made a budget until 2 years ago when I hired our operations director to do bookkeeping and budgets. I didn't even know what a budget was. I was just guessing.
Wow.
You see what I mean? Like, I'm sure we'd be a lot bigger, more power or whatever, reach and stuff if I actually we actually knew what we were doing on the business level. But that's where I am now. Like, I'm at the early phases of that. Like, oh, how do you turn this into a real company? Oh, budgets. Okay. Oh, forecasting. Okay. Well, let's think about this. How could we extend our reach, and how would we do that in a sustainable way?
Yeah.
You know, so I'm getting there, but I got there on my own time. But someone else listening might get there a lot faster. They might be like, oh, well, this product's only going to work if I scale like this. No. Well, yeah, that might be for your business, but for mine, it's been working all right. And I'm continuing to learn and grow. And the closer my kids get to college, the more I'm going to have to grow, because next year I'm going to start paying college tuition.
Things are going to get more expensive.
And I know I already got my plans of how I'm going to have to like expand some stuff just to kind of pay the tuition.
Yeah, that's a scary thought. My older one's in high school now. It's like, oh no.
My plan originally was that he wouldn't go to college. And then he's like, Dad, I want to go to college. I'm like, really?
Oh, that's going to hurt.
He did get a partial scholarship, so that was good.
Oh, nice. That's pretty cool. Well, I think the big takeaway kind of from what you're saying, like one of the big takeaways is like, just get started, you know?
Yeah,
do it. And then start figuring out all the other stuff as you go, right?
That's it, exactly. Like, because you don't know what you're thing a business is going to involve, you know? I mean, in a way, say if you're a massage therapist and you want to start a massage business, I mean, that's a business. That's starting from scratch. I mean, it's, you know, it's a lot more involved than just renting a room and giving people massages. You know, you got to market, you got to figure out your business and your style. Like, how are you going to get people there? And how are you going to keep your clients? And are you going to carry some extra products to me? Are you going to do classes somewhere? Are you going to possibly, you know, there's so many things that you can do in any particular situation. But I guess what underlies it all is that, yeah, you got to kind of look at every idea or product idea you have as a business. And then, but what scares some people too is, like you mentioned a little bit about it, like too, is Chris, is like the marketing aspect, like how do I get people to buy my thing, or how do I do that? And that, maybe you have some questions about that. I could get into
did
it.
Did you kind of, yeah, I mean, you
I
said
the direction you want to take.
You said like 5 years in was before you were actually like, yeah, full-time going on this thing. So yeah, kind of like around that point or leading up to that point, did you have to start learning marketing? How did you go from selling 10 to hundreds or thousands?
Good question. Okay. So what people have to do when we're listening to this is maybe some of you see it this way, but you may have to slightly tweak how you look at marketing, because marketing is what you do from the very beginning. I mean, before you even start thinking about this, you have to start thinking about the marketing. Now, marketing isn't taking ads out. It's not at the same as advertising. Marketing is, let's go back to its roots, marketing. So, and the roots of marketing are in the word market, the market, like a farmer, like a town market, the city square, or maybe in these days, maybe the farmer's market. You know how a lot of listeners here, I'm sure you these days have farmer's markets in their towns. It's a big thing, at least where I am. Mm-hmm. And if I go down to the market, like it's going to open probably my market in the next couple of weeks. I'm sure by the end of the month and kind of the early spring markets will start, and it goes all through the whole summer and stuff. And when I go there the first day, I am going to know already the vegetable person, the egg person, the guy I get my bagel from on Saturday morning, because it's a Saturday morning market. I know Heidi, the coffee lady who makes my great, awesome latte. I know, you know, there's if I'm there at lunch, I can go to the crab cake guy. I live in a seaside town. There's all kinds of stuff, breads, the flowers. I love to get fresh bouquet of flowers. I know all those people at the market. Mm-hmm. And when I go there, not only is their product wonderful and they're giving it at a fair price, but I get to have a little conversation with them and I get to know them. I am establishing a relationship. Like every time I'm up to the coffee stand, Heidi says, oh, you talked about my son Rowan. She goes, oh, I saw Rowan in that play. He was so great. You know, what's she doing? She's like, you know, making her business stronger in through our relationship. So you want to think of it on that level. You can't just think of your people who may be your quote on customers as being, I don't really think of them as customers. That's the weird thing. Oh, this guy got a little, I know they are technically, but I think of them as like those people maybe do at the market to meet like their community. Mm-hmm. You know, and someone like Seth Godin might write, has a book called Tribes. There's a little thing, it's called Tribes or something like that. It's a little tiny book. And it's cool and how it defines, like, you know, the tribe is kind of like, you know, maybe the modern internet cool lingo word for that same kind of idea, like the people that are your friends or you have a relationship with that you're followers. So I think of it that way, like relationships at the market, because it's very egalitarian for me that way as well. So, to me, that's marketing. And from the beginning, I would send emails out every month. From the very first month I was online in January of 2005, I've never missed a month, and send out a wonderful new recipe or remedy. And that keeps the relationship going. I mean, I was doing that even before it was possible to even add comments technically to a website.
Well, that's a pretty big deal, the email thing. I've noticed, I love getting your emails. But I know that since I've started studying marketing, you know, all the people that give advice say, you know, forming an email group is key, right?
Yeah, email's really, really important because you own the list, whereas Facebook, you don't know what the heck Facebook is going to do. Yeah. Now, Facebook is kind of important in promotions and stuff these days, and this is how. If you have an email list and you email them a promotion or something like a launch, like, yeah, have some free content maybe before a launch starts and you want to make sure they get it, you can email them all you want and a lot of people will open it. But if you back that every email up with a custom audience through Facebook ads, you can increase the open rates and the conversions. But it all kind of lives in this inside your email group. Like their email group is your email list is your gold. I mean, you know, I used to when I worked at the nonprofit, I remember, again, before the early days of the internet, I sometimes go to these workshops for nonprofits and they would talk about how your list, you know, is your gold, literally, because that's your donor list was your gold to get you your fundraising for. That hasn't changed, like your email list. It's to say, it kind of converted over to me. I remembered that. I was like, oh, yeah, your community is the gold, you know, so because that's who you're communicating with. That's what you're offering things to. So for me, marketing is rather than spend money on ads. And I don't. I have zero advertising budget. I mean, if I take an ad out, it's usually just to kind of, you know, do a nice thing from a friend who runs a magazine or something. But I don't really rely on that ad for actual business.
Yeah.
Because all of the money, all the energy that I put in. Because, okay, so if you put an ad out, right, you're going to pay money for that. And that money represents your time and energy. Like that money got made because you put time and energy into something, right? Mm-hmm. So rather than putting your time and energy into the money that's going to buy the ad, put your time and energy into free content that your people on your list can really enjoy. So if I'm walking down the market, what if all of a sudden one day I'm going by and Heidi says, John, I got a latte for you. Someone left it on the counter. And I go, thanks, Heidi. Don't you think I'll always go to Heidi?
Right. So it's really that, like you were saying, building that relationship is the first step. Like,
yeah. Like, hey, John, thanks for buying this dozen tomatoes. Oh, I have these couple extra peppers. I'm going to throw them in for you. Oh, dude, awesome. Thanks, Tom.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like It's no different. So I'm not manipulating people on my list by giving them free stuff. I'm just being generous because I know that that's just how the world works. You know, you be generous to people. Be cool. Just be cool.
Just be cool, man.
What would you do? What would you think would be cool and do that? You know, yeah, it's like, yeah. You know, and when you sell something, you know, I always 10x the value. So if I sell something for $100, I'm damn sure making sure that's a $1,000 product. If I have a $50 product, it's a $500 product in my mind. You know, So it's just like, and then people really feel the value. So when you're giving them all a bunch of great stuff and you're giving them great value and excellent products that are awesome, like you can't lose. And it's really simple.
Especially if you're like, you're doing something that you love doing anyway. Like, you know, you love herbs. You love talking about herbs. Yeah. I can tell when I hear you talk about it on the podcast. So it just,
yeah, I do.
So it's not like you're having a hard time doing that, right?
and that's John, you know, this is all John's business school. So yeah, people got me really good at business. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's because I'm doing, in a nutshell, everything that I just said. But, you know, all the other stuff that has to do with business that I don't understand, like bookkeeping and taxes and accounting and da-da-da, all the insurance and benefit. Like, I don't know any of that stuff. I hire people to do that for me. Now, you'd say, like, oh, I don't know how to do, you know, I can't afford that. Well, that's because you haven't gotten there yet. Like, when it's time to hire those people, like, you'll have the money for it.
Yeah.
Right?
That makes sense.
But you should always go and only focus in your business as much as possible because you want to stick to what your unique ability is. So my unique ability, and I forgot, I mean, Dan Kennedy, I think, has came up with that, or that's his term for that. Is it Dan Sullivan, I think. One of the two. One of the Dans.
I'll have to check up
and, on yeah,
that.
One of the Dans. And anyway, you know, you stick to your unique ability, then your business is going to go forward. If I'm spending half my time doing bookkeeping and taxes, which I, you know, or things that I don't like doing, then it's not going to be sustainable and your business is going to come to a screeching halt. Once it got past the point where I was putting more than a day of my month into bookkeeping, I got a bookkeeper. You know, but yeah. Originally for the first few years, bookkeeping took me like 2 hours. A month. So well, I don't need
yeah,
a
there's not that much money. There's not that much books yeah. to keep, right?
Right. There's not a lot of books to keep. So don't worry about all that stuff. You know, when you get there, you'll get there. You know, like, or, you know, and everyone's story will unfold differently. Like the way my business unfolded is going to be different than your business. You know, it's just like, I don't know. Like I just, the important thing is I just kind of surf, you know, I just go with the flow and just whatever comes up, I do that, you know,
I think another thing people get stuck with or frustrated with is, you know, like the initial idea, like coming up with a good idea. And I think you already, you know, talked about that a bit. And I've heard other podcasters kind of say what you're saying, which makes so much sense, is, you know, you try to find something that you needed that wasn't there and provide that.
But good one. Beginners go, well, I was going to say that's the beginner's mindset. I just kind of want to lose that thought.
Yeah,
that
no, go for it.
In your market, like, never forget what it's like to be a beginner in that thing. And the most money is always going to be available in the beginner mindset. So like if I say I'm into herbs, I know a lot of herbalists who are amazing herbalists who have great schools and they have these really complex programs and stuff. Well, that's their gift. That's what they do. They offer that. Someone has to do that. Mm-hmm. But the more money is going to be available in the beginner mindset because there's going to be more people that are interested in the in the basics of herbalism. That makes sense, right? Versus the advanced part of it. It goes with anything you learn.
Like you were saying, when they would tell you, you would ask them about your kit, and they're like, huh, why would you need that? Because they didn't have that beginner's mind. They got that.
Because they didn't have the beginner's mindset. So I always have it, and I still do. I mean, I got a course. We got a book that's is killing it. We got to number 2 on Amazon on the first day of pre-sales, and it'll come out in April, and we have a new course that's going with it. That course, everything, it's all about the beginner's mindset. We designed it for someone who's interested in herbs, who's walking through Whole Foods, who shops organic, and
I've been seeing the advertisements for that. I can't wait to get that book.
So that's an example of us, even though we're experienced in what we do, we circle back around and always keep making better and better products for the novice, because, you know, because it's fun, and, you know, and we like to try to extend our reach. That's how we can grow our business, we figured.
And I think that, to me, like, the, so, you know, a couple of big things we hit on, you know, having the relationships, forming the relationships, providing value to those people. But, like, at the core of all that is having something that, like, really means something to you, and that means something to the world, that, that serves some sort of purpose. And that's something I try to talk about, you know, whenever I get a chance. And that's, you know, really important to me in the business that I go forward with, that it's something that does something good for people or for the world, that, you know, that serves some sort of greater purpose. Is that something that, you know, occurred to you earlier on, or just you were naturally there?
Yeah, I think, like, if you can look at what I do, and that's really obvious how that serves a bigger purpose. And I think that's probably because, you know, my early 20s out of college, right away, I started working with Wilderness Awareness School and getting that started. And that had a bigger purpose. I think it's kind of like where my brain kind of always has been since kind of the beginning. But I go to different internet marketing conferences, stuff like that. My story of our business was featured in Jeff Walker's launch book, the book Launch by Jeff Walker.
Oh, okay.
I think everyone should read that, not just because I'm in it, but because it's really the
foundation. Well, that's why I'm going to check it out.
It's the foundation of really how I do most of my marketing.
Okay.
Is through the product launch system and Jeff Walker's work. And, anyway, because of that, people know who I am, and they in those circles, and they'll come up to me at a thing, and they'll be like, "John, you know, I sell some kind of car part," how am I going to find that big picture of how it helps the world be a better place? And I was like, and so they really think that. They think they're just selling like a car part, or maybe you're like an accountant, and you can't quite see how that. But the thing is, like, everybody's job or a product idea or anything does connect to a bigger picture of helping people. So that car part, for example, what if that car part was made from environmentally friendly materials, and maybe it was made in the U.S. and it employed disabled people, or maybe it employed vets, or maybe it made the car more eco-friendly. You see, there's so many ways that person could market and set up their business. So it does do some really good work in the world that we're really proud of. The accountant, the same way. Maybe the accountant can advertise, you know, their services by saying that, you know, 10% or 20% or whatever of the services of my accounting agency are pro bono for, you know, women who need help or something, you know, mm-hmm. or something. Getting out of some relationships or something like that. I don't know. So I'm just making that up. But the point is like that.
You put the purpose into it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not
by
and it's
putting
not
yourself into it.
Reason. Like, you can't just go, "Oh, I'm going to do this pro bono because you hope it brings you more business." That's shallow and it's hollow and people won't buy it. But it has to be something you're generally passionate about. So maybe you're an accountant who is a vet. And so maybe it makes sense that your part of your work helps wounded vets, mm-hmm. you know, that you do taxes. And so then I think you'd have a bigger passion for it, which would then help your marketing more, and which would help bring more clients. So like anything that you do, you can attach it to something with a deeper meaning that really does help make the world a better place. You know, which is, I don't know if you ever watched Silicon Valley. I don't know if you ever watched Silicon Valley on HBO.
No.
If anybody's listening, watches that, they'll know what I mean when I say, you know, make the world a better place. It's just kind of like funny. It's a funny cliche they say in that
I get
show.
It. Okay.
It's a lot. I won't get into it. Just watch it. It's a funny show.
Well, you know, that makes a lot of sense though. What you were saying, because it's kind of bringing us back again to that whole point of that you originally made, which is, you know, like, provide the value first, and then that forms the relationship. Mm-hmm. And if you're providing the value and doing these relationships and giving something good, you are serving a purpose, you know, because you're putting something out there that people want, which
yeah.
is perfect.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, like the guy, a good example is this movie theater downtown. It's the coolest movie theater called the Rose Theater downtown Port Townsend here. My son actually works there. What's he do to make his business, you know, more meaning to him? I mean, it's not just because he's showing like you know, cooler movies that don't get shown as much that have, you know, be meanings or like an art house type thing. But his concession stand, you know, it's all organic butter, organic popcorn, quality chocolate, local brews on tap. He hires all the local kids, you know, he provides jobs, they do things in the community. You see, like, he infuses himself in that community, and then, like, it could just be just a regular old movie theater and nobody knows who it is, but he chooses not to.
You know, there's a little local movie theater near us where they have all these different flavors of stuff you can shake on your popcorn.
Yeah, yeah.
And wife loves that so much. She's gone there just for the popcorn before. She's like, I don't care what movie's playing. I want some of that popcorn.
People will go to that movie theater and buy popcorn and then take the popcorn to the other movie theater up the street and walk into them. It's really funny.
Sometimes little things make a big difference, huh?
They do. Absolutely.
Well, okay, I got another question for you. I'm really curious because the way I found your website and everything and found out about you was through your podcast. I got real excited about podcasts and I was interested in herbs and I typed in, you know, podcasts about herbs and I found your podcast. So that's how I was introduced to Herb Mentor. How curious, what gave you the idea to get started on doing the podcast? Mm. Was that a marketing idea or what inspired that?
Well, I kind of thought of the idea before they even used the word podcast. It's kind of funny.
Really?
Because iPods, of course, were new. And I think that the people were doing things like that. But a few years into our business, 10 years ago, when I started the membership site, I just thought that interviews, like audio interviews, would be good member content, you know, like that people would be interested in hearing that. Mm-hmm. So I started doing that. And somewhere along the line, you know, iTunes set us thing up or whatnot. Then I just started submitting them to a podcast feed and calling it a podcast. But so it really started as me offering value to people who were paying me a $10 monthly fee for that and for little videos and for articles and an exclusive forum, which is what we still do on herbmentor.com, which is our membership site for learning herbs. And then eventually I started releasing it out to the public. You know, you didn't have to pay for it. And then I only haven't done it in a couple of years because, well, it's a good business lesson since we're talking about business. It's just that, you know, I only got so much time and I got focused in so many different areas. And but it is something I love doing. And we do have it on the slate to get, you know, how do we figure out how we can get John doing the podcast again instead of producing and all these doing all these launches and making all these new courses instead. So it's kind of a time thing because, you know, I have kids and I like to spend a lot of time with my family. So
that's important.
Yeah.
But I would imagine, I mean, I know that, you know, just looking down the list of all the people you interviewed, like every time you interviewed one of those people, it's also like a networking thing too, right?
Absolutely. That's really, really cool. Like, okay, so none of this was intentional, but I just thought it would be, like I said, like good content and people would like it on the site. So let's say I remember the first time I went to like what's called the International Herb Symposium. It's like the big one. It's the, mm-hmm. it's the conference where in my kind of herbalism, brand of herbalism, where all the rock stars go, you know, like where you can go see three lectures at the same time period with people that are wrote books on your bookshelf. And so the first time I went, I was in awe of these people that I was seeing at the lunch table, you know, in the cafeteria. And I'd be like, wow, they're just eating at the dining table just like I do. Wow, they're the real people. And like, I was just in awe of these people being there, you know. And then so then between that one and the next one, 2 years later, I started doing the podcast and I interviewed a lot of those people. Yeah. How? Like, I just wrote them an email and I said, "Can I interview you?" And they're like, "Sure." You know, like,
yeah.
And they don't have agents, you know. Like so, like
they're honored that you want to talk to them, right?
Yeah, people just like to talk. You asked me, I was like, "Sure, I like to talk. Sure, I'll talk about myself for a while." Who doesn't want to do that? You know, like, so I did that. And then the next conference that I went to, the next IHS, International Herb Symposium, I went to, I'm at the cafeteria. Again, I'm walking by the table with all the rock stars, and this time they're like, "Hey, John."
Yeah.
Hey, John.
Sit
down.
Good to see
you. How's it going? And I'm just like, I'm like, whoa.
I'm on the in crowd.
They know who I am. And they said hi to me. You know, like, and now, cool. And now this is like another, you know, another 6-7 years later, like, I'll go to this again in a couple of months. Now Learning Herbs is one of the main sponsors of the event, and now when I go there, the last one I was at, probably half the people, 500-600 people, I'm not kidding, would come up to me and go, "John, I'm a member of Herb Mentor. Oh, I listen to your podcast. Oh, I get your emails. Oh, I have Herb Fairies. Oh, I have this product or that product." And we get this reputation, like people are so grateful, and I'm like, wow, that's amazing. I never met these people before in person. How did I do this? Like, how did I do this to all these people that, to me, here, like, seem like complete strangers, but they all know me? And I'm like, wow, I guess, like, I did that because I made great products, and I made them great prices, and I gave a lot away, and I was cool to people. I think that has a cumulative effect over 12 years.
Yeah, and it's just little by little, so you don't see it happening until all of a sudden you're like, wow, here, all these people know me.
Yeah. Oh, so people go there and they're looking at me like that at that conference there.
Wow.
Now. And yet at the same time, there's other people at that same conference and I'm looking at them in that way. So there's all this kind of really funny. We're like, wow, that's so and so. And they're going to me going, wow, that's John. I'm like, huh? What? Really?
That is really cool.
I just started this in my garage, you know?
Yeah. That's awesome, though. That's very inspiring for me, you know, as someone who's starting from the beginning.
Well, and a tip, too, is let's say, like, and that's a good example, like all those people, those herbalists that I saw, the one thing they had in common of how they were all well-known was from their books. Mm. And if I looked at, let's say, the catalog to Mountain Rose Herbs, which is a great company,
yeah.
If I looked at the back of their catalog at the time, there were all these herbal books. Well, again, hindsight 2020, I didn't intend to do this, but we made a board game, you know, that's nobody done that. And that's different than a book. And yet it's all. So then all of a sudden it was like, without having to write a book or anything, we were suddenly on that same stage, you know, where people and we're listed in the back of the Mountain Rose catalog and we're with the books. And I'm just like, wow, how did that happen? You know, all of a sudden our games and catalogs for Waldorf School and Montessori schools and all
Wild
this
craft.
Stuff. Yeah, Wildcraft. And I'm just like, all right. You know, like and that kind of did it too. So my point in saying that was what's unique in your niche? Like, don't do what the rest of them have done.
Yeah, what didn't they do yet, right?
Even when we have now, we do have a book. And I say we. I'm not the author, but, you know, I negotiated. I got the contract negotiated, and I helped. I named the book, and I helped design it and what's in it and stuff like that. So I'm like a kind of a hidden man behind the curtains producer of this book.
Nice.
And it's called Alchemy of Herbs. But again, when I wrote it, when we put it together, when Rosalie wrote it and I helped her figure out what we were going to put together, we thought we had a meeting, a lot of meetings, and we're like, well, let's do something that no one else has done. Like, let's make a different book, like for a different, slightly different audience with a different message, because I didn't want to just write another book that was already been written. So always be unique and original.
Nice.
There's no need to copy anybody. If you find yourself copying somebody, stop. Find an original idea.
Do it different. Do something different.
Yeah, don't do what someone else has done. There's no point in that. There's never. That's not sustainable. It's not going to build a sustainable business that you like doing every day. And I have a friend I'm thinking of who saw what we were doing early on with our website business, and she's a neighbor and a friend of ours. And so she said she saw how I was doing it. Oh, with the website, and then she got to join this website company that I was on. And started researching keywords and things that might make a good business. And then she found one and made a website and all. But it didn't last more than a year. Why? It's because she didn't care about it. No, it was just, she was just going for what the good keyword was, you know, and that's not sustainable. You're not going to be passionate about it in 2 years or 3 years. Like I'm 12 years into this and I still feel like I barely got started. Like I'm still frustrated that I'm so behind. And then I have like at least 20 years of product ideas written down ahead of me. Like I'll never run out of it. And if someone copies me, I've got 10 more good ideas around that.
Well, have you ever had like a point though where you did feel like you totally failed or something didn't work and that was a lesson, a big lesson for you?
I feel like in the big picture I haven't, but in the little picture, like the day to day, or maybe in a launch tactics or techniques or things like that, I have had some things fail.
Yeah,
and of course, and I always like the failures because I learn from them. And
yeah, maybe you're just such an optimistic guy that you always see failures as learning opportunities, huh?
Well, because I'm very fortunate, I didn't have any failures that have really hit me hard. You know, like that. I I'm lucky. You know, and fortunate, so I'm going to be grateful for that.
Yeah.
I think if I had a common thread on many of those little lessons on why they didn't work or why something didn't work right, is because there were situations where I wasn't true to my core values of who I was. Like maybe it was an email that was just bad copy and was just, maybe I was trying to like be too salesy or something, and then it was didn't work because that's not how I usually speak to my people on my list.
Yeah,
you know, or maybe I had a situation where, you know, happened on this Facebook conversation thing where I could have handled it differently. You know, I could have been a little cooler. You know, like in a situation I was handling, and it wasn't very graceful. And again, it wasn't, I didn't approach it originally in my core value. So I think that you gotta, you know, just even if you're just stumbling around, write down what you think your core values are, who you are and what you want to do. And that's good to refer back to and stay steeped in, because I do it on my about page. Like, so when I have to remind myself who I am or who my audience is or why I do what I do, I make it really easy for myself. I go to learningherbs.com and I click on our story on the bottom right left of the website footer. And I read that. I just read it over and over again. I've read it. I just read it today, actually.
Wow.
I was before I'm going to write something really important. Like, you know, I have to ground myself of like who we are and what I do.
That's pretty cool. You know, it gives me a little boost
of
confidence.
I just made that up. I didn't know I did that until just now. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I do that. I guess that's a good thing. This isn't a tip. I was premeditated. I just
those
realized
are probably
that.
The best kind, right? You know,
I realized it on the fly by talking to you.
That's pretty awesome. You know, it makes me feel good, too, because like one of the first things I talked about in this podcast, like one of my first earliest episodes was about, you know, like core concepts, you know, like what is the core idea, you know, that I feel like that's kind of like the foundation of whatever it is I'm going to do. Like in this podcast, for instance, you know, I was like, I really had a long time trying to iron out what was the core concept of this podcast. You know, it took me a while to figure that out. And then the idea is that then as I go on, I can keep looking back on that core concept. And
yeah,
so I should take your advice and go back and listen to episode 1 and 2 or 0
but,
and 0.
But you did it, though. You had an idea for a podcast and you just got on and just started talking.
Yeah, I'm still figuring it out as I go.
Well, so am I.
But I got John Gallagher to come on my show. That's a big deal.
Believe me, I don't have that much figured out. I'm always like, I love the feeling. I love the place of being just on the edge and just trying to figure it out and just ahead of the game, you know, like I just like
it keeps you alive, huh?
Yeah. Like I just know myself. If I have everything together, I'll just get lazy, you know?
Well, I think my personality is pretty similar too. I like taking risks and I like sticking my neck out a little bit and trying, but I know a lot of people, that's kind of why I asked the question about failings. Like I know a lot of people worry about, you know, what could go wrong or what might go wrong. And, you know, I guess I just want to encourage people to go for it anyway and realize that, you make mistakes. And
what people don't realize is that, whether you like risks or not, we all take risks. I mean, just driving every day is a risk.
Yeah, huge. So, probably the biggest.
Or, you know, just anyone deciding to like be a parent is have kids
or risky behavior.
Yeah. I mean, anything you do is any action when you think of that way, it's kind of like a risk. Right. But me though, like, I don't know, I am not a gambler. Like if you ask me to invest in some company or you were like, let's, you know, take out a $100,000 venture capitalist loan or get a loan to start this thing. I that's not me. I'd get knots in my stomach and I'd be up all night and I would lose it. Mm-hmm. But for me, you know, this is a business that started, I don't want to say in my comfort zone, but enough in it that I felt like the risks were, I guess, a little more calculated and educated.
Yeah.
Like when I made the herbal kit, I could buy like 10 kits on my credit card and put them together. And then if those sold, I could do 10 more. Like, and
if they
and,
didn't sold, you weren't going to lose the house, right?
Yeah. I wasn't. So that's just where I'm more comfortable. Again, I don't hire a new personal. I know I'm making their salary already. Mm-hmm. or things like that. So I, yes, I'm taking risks, but at the same time, I'm taking this book that we're doing or this course, like I put maybe 50,000 or more into production of this new course that we're doing. That's unheard of for me. Like that was but you know what? I really believe in it and I've been around a while and I know it's going to do well. So it's not really a risk, even though it's a risk. So
yeah, you have enough experience now to know that that's not that crazy of an idea, right?
Well, when we did the board games, we came up with the board game idea. That was going to need, I think, like $20,000 to print 1,500 games. I think it was like something like that. Now, I didn't, I wonder because like so the money came from a small inheritance, exactly that much from my wife's grandmother. And but I don't think I would have, but that was a huge amount of money for us to get. And we did it because I already had the business going and I knew I had like some people that I thought would buy it and mm-hmm. the community already. So it was a risk, but at the same time, it wasn't like I was just making a game and trying to sell it to Toys R Us. I was making a game and trying to sell it to a group of people who are already interested in herbs. And so I was in my niche. And so I thought it would work. Now that first run of 1,500 games has now turned into 75,000 games sold.
Wow.
And so that little inheritance has made itself over, you know, many times. Well over $1 million in the 10-year period.
That is awesome.
So you see, like, yeah, you take risks.
So there's a balance, I think. Yeah. That's what I'm taking away from that.
Just don't be stupid.
Yeah, I mean, and I always teeter on that because I'm a little bit reckless, but yeah, take risk, and now it's kind of like goals too, because I actually just wrote an article that I haven't even published yet, but it's like, and the idea of that was that, yeah, I mean, if you make goals too big, like my first year, I was like, I'm going to make $1 million, you know, in a year or two. And it was kind of disappointing a year later, like I'm more broke than when I started.
Well, you know, Jeff Walker, a good friend of mine and wrote the book Launch and a mentor of mine for life, who came out with Product Launch Formula. And that is what was able for me to sell those board games was because I used his system. And that was awesome because again, it's very calculated. It's an awesome system. And, I don't know where was it going with that?
That's another good point though. You're getting good advice from someone who's done it before. It's not like a total risk because.
Right. Because like, okay. It's like, if I was like, I've never been in a casino and I've never, not because I disagree with casinos. It's just because I don't.
It's not your thing.
I'm not good. I think I would lose a lot of money. But the only way I would ever go to a blackjack table is if I was a card counter, you know, because I feel like I know what I was doing and I would make something. Now, I have no interest in doing that. It'll never happen. But the point is, like, yeah, like I like to just have some knowledge and control over what I'm doing before I'm getting into it too much.
Yeah.
And so Product Launch Formula enabled me marketing wise to. You know, be myself, and it's all about be myself and offer great value to people, establish great relationships with people, and use this very simple technique Hollywood uses and everyone uses, you know, to launch products or movies and apply that to small businesses. And then I came out with the board game, sold 12 copies to my list. And that got me really worried because I had 1,500 board games sitting in my garage all over the house. And then I got his program, and then 2 weeks later, I used the formula.
So there was a little bit of a scary part there, right?
I got really scared when those weren't selling. I was sure they were going to sell, and I got them, and they didn't. And I got really scared, and I got that product, and
I went through it
2 weeks later. I sold 650 copies of the same one.
Wow.
And so you see, then I've been using that formula over and over again for the last 10 years, and that's how I built the business.
Well, I'm gonna have to look at that book, find the link to for lunch, because that's you brought that up a couple times. That sounds like a great resource.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the cool thing now. It used to be that he sells the whole formula, and that's a bit of an expense. But the cool part is people can learn a lot, and now I can just say, go get the $10 book, and it's just anyone can get that. So.
And there's so much information out there too now with podcasts and, so many people will give away free information because they want to get, you on an email list or something. So there's a lot of ways to get good advice these days. And
But it's good though, if you can find a mentor who has a foundational type of system. And that's why I like Jeff's stuff. There's a lot of people like him out there too, that are awesome too, that are great teachers who have like something that you can go deep in and have a foundation for your marketing. And so, because what happens is that you get attracted to all the bells and whistles. It's like all of a sudden it's like, okay, social media. Oh, I should do these ads. I should do that. I should do this. Oh, now I should do this cool thing that everyone's doing. Oh, now I'm going to do. And you can't do it all.
You can waste a lot of time, right?
Some people are great at Facebook, for example. And so maybe that's the place where they should establish their relationships because they're really good at that. Or maybe it's Instagram, or maybe it's, could be a lot of different types of things. Me, I don't really like Facebook that much. I mean, I hire all our social media. I hire someone to do that, like I do the bookkeeping, because I'm not good at it, nor do I like it at all. So, but I barely post pictures of my kids on my Facebook account. So
That's Emily, right?
Emily does that for us, and she's awesome. But I'm really good at email, Mark. I'm good at launches. So that's why our business mostly focuses in that area, not because that's what you should do. It's because it's just what I'm good at. So that's what I do. So you got to pick an avenue that works really well for you, a foundational type of thing, and go for it.
Okay. That's good advice.
Yeah.
Find a good, solid mentor.
Yeah. Well,
that's something I'm going to have to work on because, I feel like, grasping at this and that a little bit, and it's hard to get rooted and get a solid start.
It's the internet business world is like a playground for those with ADD. It's always look, squirrel.
Ooh, that shiny thing.
That shiny object over there. And then you just, next thing you spent $5,000 on courses and have nothing to show for it. And that's what I advise against.
Okay.
Do not do it. Just
don't spend a bunch of money on courses and fancy tools.
No, because you can start with a free site on Wix or one of those places.
Yeah.
You can use a PayPal thing. Eventually, maybe if you're techie, you can use WordPress, and that's pretty free. And then for your education and stuff, there's lots of great free. There's books.
The library, the good old fashioned library.
and you could, until you get some traction, and never order that $2,000 marketing course until you can afford it.
Substantiate the
until you actually have the money for it.
Right.
And that's just me. That's how I do things. But that's how I did it. I didn't spend money I didn't have.
And you did do it. So that's, I take that advice. So, that's great advice.
Sorry to all my friends who sell marketing products, but this is the reality, It's like,
well, it's still something that's worth working towards. And like you said, if I've made 6,000, then maybe I can afford to spend the 2,000, right?
Well, it doesn't take much to do I remember I was saying a while ago with Jeff Walker is that, he's made millions of dollars and lots of launches, but the one that meant the most to him was the first launch, where he made $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
some people, I've seen people like do their first launch and make $10,000 and think they failed. And I'm like, what are you, crazy? Like, that's $10,000 you didn't have last week. What are you thinking? Like, it's a lot of money. And because they're comparing themselves, right?
Yeah.
Can't compare yourself to other people. Just take it little by little. If you can do what they call a seed launch, lead people to a free product, build your list with a couple free webinars you offer, get some people to Facebook post it, get 20 people on the webinar. You know, you do like five of those webinars, you're going to have a list of up to maybe 500 people. You can launch a $50 product to those 500 people. 50 of them will buy it. And you know, there you've got $2,500 or something, whatever my math is there. But you see what I mean? You
just made a couple. And a few of them tell their friends, and then they come check you out.
Start. You just have to start and do something and keep it small, you know. And you be
and make sure it's valuable and something you care about, right?
Yeah, and be authentic too. Like if you're talking about a certain topic and you're not an expert at it, don't try to be one. Like, I am not an expert herbalist. I call myself a proficient family home herbalist. I raised, I've 18 years. I've raised kids with using herbs for a lot of things.
And well, they're still alive. You got that going.
They're still alive, so they're still here. And I was using lots of herbs with my son the last couple of days when he was sick. I was making them different infusions and teas and the stuff I've been making his whole life. And but you know, I'm not an expert because there's so many experts and people who wrote those amazing books out there and stuff. What I position myself is like a networker, a host of the show, you know, mm-hmm. like you are with your podcast or I am with my podcast. And like, I'm connecting people who are newer with people who have experience. And I never try to pretend I'm anything else but that. And that just is such a relief when you can just be yourself. Now, if you are an expert at something or great at something, then be that.
Do that, right.
Do it up.
Boy, you've given me a lot of good advice for me personally. So I know it's going to be valuable for the people that listen to this. And I don't know just how many I'll be able to reach, but... whoever we do, it's good.
Made this podcast, and not only are the people listening learning, but you did this because you want to learn. Now you're talking to me, and you're getting all this amazing advice from me.
Yeah.
Now there's no reason why any of you listening can't do that same kind of thing.
Right.
We do like a Rosalie who I've known her over 10 years. When I first met her, she was new to herbalism. 10 years later, she did exactly that. She wrote courses. She helped with forums. She did all kinds of work. Went to classes. You know, she's about to come out with a best-selling herbal book. 10 years later. 10 years ago, she didn't know much. 10 years later, she's got a best-selling book. So you tell me. She's the expert. She made herself the expert. She did it herself.
That's awesome. Right?
Yeah.
Well, this is so awesome. I'm so glad you have spent this time with me, John. I'm going to listen to this over a few times, I'm sure, and probably gain more insight every time I listen to it. I'll have to go back and try to find some of the links, some of the ideas you gave too.
Cool. But
really impressed with your work and really thankful to have gotten to know you a little bit here.
And I'm grateful. Yeah, I'm glad that you're doing what you're doing. I'm grateful to everyone listening, thinking about doing something. And for me, you know, like I never really get time to sit back and reflect on what I've done or what I'm doing. So this is great for me, you know, to go, oh yeah, okay, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, tell the story and remember the table of your heroes. That's I like that story. That was great.
Yeah. All right. Cool, man.
Okay.
All right.
I think I'll draw it to a close here, and hopefully we'll keep in contact. I'll be on your Herb Mentor site. I just signed up for a membership, so I'm excited to kind of follow the forum.
Right. Ooh, wait till you see the new one coming out next fall. It's gonna be awesome.
Right on.
Never stop improving.
Awesome. Thanks so All much.
Right. You're welcome.
So there it is. That was my awesome discussion with John. And as I listen over it again, just feeling inspired. I hope you are too. What a great example of a small business
that achieved great things and continues to. And being part of the community, doing something you love, that's kind of what I see that as an end goal for a lot of folks maybe who might be listening to this show. So if you're feeling inspired, I'd love to hear from you. On imstartingfromscratch.com, on this episode, you can leave comments. I'm Starting From Scratch also has a Facebook page. Please go there. Check it out. The link's on imstartingfromscratch.com. And there's a I'm Starting From Scratch group. So check those out. And John's sites, herbmentor.com, learningherbs.com. And thanks for coming.